Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
So that's the sound of the scene at the Division 1 Under 15 Hurling Championship in Waterford on Monday evening between Ballygunner and Nareeshig at Mount Sion. And what you don't see, what's happening in that clip, is you have a brawl going on between players, mentors and spectators. And the guards are investigating it at the moment. But we're asking today, like, it's a sight that is all too common. It's something we talk about at least on an annual basis at a minimum on this show. But are the matches just too competitive, or why is it still continuing? Carmel is with us on the line today in Waterford. Now, Carmel, I know you weren't at this match on Monday evening, but what are your thoughts? Are they just too competitive?
Well, it's one thing to be competitive. It's a different thing when it gets to the stage where instead of the ball, in a lot of cases on the field, they go for the man rather than the ball. But this business of the sideline, even in the break, if there's somebody injured or whatever, there's a stoppage in the match, you have mentors running in onto the pitch, talking to the players and helping. That is not on. Once the match started, there should only be the players and the referee on the field. And that causes all this friction and egging on and all the rest of it, with the result that you have this constant carrying on the sidelines. And it's just dreadful. That's not sport. Mm. And I think the GAA now want to look over all matches and also what could constitute a foul. There are fouls being committed that are not being called.
Okay. Now, this is obviously at an entirely different level what we witnessed in Waterford on Monday night. I've only seen some of the footage of it, there's quite a number. There's a fairly large number of people involved in it.
I know there's a rivalry between the clubs, but that's sporting rivalry is all right. When it gets to that level, it's ridiculous. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't let them play each other ever again. If it's going to be as bad as that. That was a disgraceful exhibition. That's what it was.
That
terrible.
That's right.
And I think just in my own, and I'm only in the road from where that happened, where the clubs are. And it saddens me. It really saddens me when I think how lovely the matches used to be. Okay, they'd be shouting and cheering from the crowd, but they'd still stay in their place. You know, it would only be up in the stands or whatever. But when it gets out onto the field and you have this awful brawl at the sidelines at the end of a match, it's just not on. That's not on.
Yeah, Nicky Brennan, former GA president, is with us on the line. Is that the case, Nicky, that people just don't know their place?
Well, look, I mean, first of all, we need to be careful what we say here, because while the GA will deal with this through its disciplinary procedures with Waterford Board and Nogue, when they get the referee support, obviously the guard authorities are involved as well.
That's
so
right.
Obviously we have to be careful in what we say here. But having said that, I mean, what happened was wrong and was completely out of order. But in the context of your opening comments there as well, these are very rare events. Now, I totally accept one is one too many, and we can only go on what we saw on social media. And sometimes when that's on social media, it's been filmed by one individual from perhaps one side of it, and we only get a half a picture of what actually went on.
Fair point.
But no matter what way you look at it, it involved young lads, it involved mentors, it involved parents. And the referee was in the middle of it all trying to bring some order to it. So it was understandable that the game was called off. So it is wrong, and there's a responsibility here on the part of mentors in charge of teams. I mean, there is a competitiveness in sport. Bear in mind, Andrea, that right now at the moment around the country, there's well in excess of 100,000 kids, boys and girls, participating in Kellogg's Cool Camp. And they're doing that in a non-competitive way. There is Go Games for all underage teams, which is non-competitive as well. So the competition starts around the 14 mark, maybe coming a month's going as well at 13, and it gets into competition at that stage. It's very much part of sport, a competition. And
it's not even really the point about it, whether or not, I suppose, the match itself is competitive. But like when you look at the scenes that emerged on Monday from Waterford, as you mentioned, Nicky, between players and mentors and supporters and the whole lot, like, there is a responsibility on somebody in the powers that be to bring in some kind of...
Well, the powers that be in this case are the officials in charge of the two teams. Now, I'm not going to lay the blame at either door because I don't know, but clearly there was wrong perpetrated on both sides, and both sides have to take their own level of responsibility. But, I mean, at a national level, the GAA has rolled out, on a regular basis, rolled out the respect initiative for players to respect one another, and that works all the way from juvenile up to adult, and especially respect for referees, and when you see the referees' jerseys, on the sleeve of it is the word respect. So a lot of work has been put in by the GAA here, but it's also up to individuals in clubs to take their share of responsibility and make sure the players under their under their control behave in a respectful manner. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know incidents might have happened in games, and that's the job of the referee to adjudicate on things like that, but there's an onus on the officials and indeed parents at matches to cop themselves on here, because when this matter arises, well then the two clubs have to take ownership of the problem and the due authorities will deal with it in due course.
Yeah, well that's when I talk about the powers that be, I'm talking about the GAA itself and you know the fact that it isn't the first time. I appreciate it doesn't happen at every single match, but it's not the first time, Nicky, and you know, by any stretch that we've talked about incidents like this, and these are only the ones that we talk about on the show as well, I should say. Let me just bring in Antonio. Nicky, stay with us if you don't mind. Antonio Montero is a coach of the Castleknock Celtic and also the founder of the Silent Sideline. Like, what do you think could be done in situations like this, Antonio?
Well, I think it's just boils down to education. It boils down to educating coaches, you know, from the youngest ages, what is expected of them from the sidelines, what's expected of them, you know, as a coach, as a club, and as players themselves. I think the biggest issue with GAA and hurling and that is that to just coaches and mentors and people on the sideline, parents and umpires, they have far too much access to the pitch while the game is on. I mean, you just see, you know, adults running on, passing on messages, passing on water. It's just, it's an absolute free-for-all. And I think, you know, you don't see that in football and soccer as much because, you know, generally teams are on both sides and you have to stay within an area of the pitch. And nobody's allowed behind the goals. Now, I appreciate that someone has to be behind the goals for the points and that, but you know, if you go to, and I regularly go to GAA games, my daughter plays GAA and, you know, at the women's level. And she, you know, I would regularly go to those games and there could be any amount of people behind the goals. There could be any amount of people on the sideline, all the way up and down the sideline. And then there's coaches who are encroaching on the sideline. They're 10 or 15 yards inside the pitch. And that in itself, you know, allows them to get really emotionally involved in the game, and you know, if you want to stop getting emotionally involved, you need to stand back away from the action. There's far too many people that are actually on the pitch getting emotionally involved, yeah, and I almost feel like they're part of the game itself.
Is that a fair point, Nicky? Could more be done around that?
No, I think that's valid that sometimes there are too many people on the sideline, and I suppose that's the job of the referee. But bear in mind, a lot of these games will be taking place at a venue where there might not be an enclosed pitch. The referee might be the only official there. He might not have umpires for these underage games. That's simply not practical at all. So there are definitely challenges there. But that's where the onus is on the team mentors and the club officials to make sure that the proper protocols are observed here. It's not that they haven't been told about this. It's not that the GAA doesn't have strong rules in its rule book to deal with perpetrators of issues that have arisen here. There is ample rules in the GAA book here. It's up to the officials in charge of teams and the parents of the kids to cop themselves on here.
Yeah, but the personal responsibility in all of this from supporters. I'm not talking about what happened on Monday, but in general, like if you can't behave yourself, you shouldn't be going.
Absolutely, no, you're right. I mean, parents have got to take ownership. I mean, I don't know how the level of involvement of parents involved in the incident on last Monday, but looking at social media, there would appear to have been, and that's wrong, and clearly there will be action taken by the authorities in Watford who, you can take it from me, they will view this very seriously, and they're a very responsible group of officials down there, and they will deal with this in the appropriate manner.
John is with us in Roscommon. John, you've been listening to Nicky and Antonio and Carmel. What point did you want to make?
A good referee would stop all that. We have a referee down here in Roscommon, and I'll tell you one thing for not. That wouldn't happen. Because if Paul was refereeing the match, he'd send the parents out. Out, good luck. Or whoever's on the sideline, gone. You get one morning, gone. And it wouldn't happen when he's ref. And we have a lady ref as well. We've good refs in Roscommon here. We have, and we're struggling to get them, and that's why. But We have a couple of good refs there, and that would not happen.
Not a
chance would it happen.
So is it about respect then from the sidelines for referees? Or referees enforcing?
Yeah, there's some referees that they'll know how to push them so hard. And there's other referees that won't take that. There's two referees here in Roscommon, and I honestly think they're the best. And I know a referee from Westmeath is very good as well. But I will say, there's referees that don't know the rules. They're refing men's game and they're refing women's game, and they're mixing it all up. And probably mentors are getting frustrated as well on the side, but they don't. They genuinely don't know the rules. It's a totally different rules between ladies and men's football. And I honestly think a good referee is very hard got. But we have two or three of them down here in Roscommon, or four maybe.
It's hard to lay the blame, though. And I'm not even talking about Monday now for a moment, just in a general sense. It's hard to lay all the blame with the referees, though.
But you don't. But isn't the referee there? He's getting paid for a job. And when you got paid for a job, you go in and do it right. And he's getting paid for that job. So if there's someone in the stand giving guff, send him out. Call them out. He'll call them out. This man down here will call them out. And when he calls them out, in front of him, he'll stop the match and he'll call them out, and they don't belong going into their shed.
It's as simple as that. Do you agree, Nicky, with that?
I'm not silent on the sideline. I can roar and shout no better man. But he'd throw one look at you and you'd know the next time you were gone.
You'd shut up. Is it as simple as that, Nicky?
The point the gentleman is making there, obviously he has a couple of refs in Roscommon that are able to handle situations. But I think, to be fair to the referee, I think the fact that referees are getting paid, I think they get modest payment for this. It's essentially a labour of love for referees. They do this principally in a volunteering mode. And I think that, you know, it would be wrong to say just because he gets paid, he should be able to sort it out. But having said all of that, I mean, you do need a certain type of personality to be a referee as well. And certainly you do need to know your rules. But in terms of dealing now with the type of people that are involved with teams at all grades and in all codes, the referee needs to be a very strong-willed character to stand up to what's being said. And you have to have a let it in one ear and out the other ear a lot of the time, because if it gets too much into you, it can affect how your performance is going.
So I know.
I have sympathy for referees in that regard.
Yeah, I know the comments John was making weren't in relation to what happened at Mount Zion on Monday evening, but a lot of people actually very much in agreement with John's point. Joe says a lot of the parents shouting and cursing at the refs don't even fully understand the rules of the game. This texter makes the point that the GAA would pride itself on not having hooliganism like the English Football League, but this is obviously not the case. Chris says, we're making excuses, for this type of thuggery, and then wonder how it spreads to the streets like the other night in Dublin. It's a slippery slope. Watching the Sunday's hurling final, they must mean from last weekend, players fighting, pushing, subs coming on, getting hurlies into the rib every time, never fails. Players should be suspended for a minimum of 12 months, says this texter. Another listener, these are not rare events, sorry, just ask any GA coach. It happens way more in the GAA because they're refusing to tackle it. Head in the sand type of stuff you're talking about. And just finally for the moment, what other sport would allow this? Only the GAA think it's time that they send a clear message. Perhaps they need to look at the respect for the refs and officials in rugby. And I'm a huge GA supporter, says this texter.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.